We're beginning tonight the soldiers of Christ, and those who are members of this congregation know what that is all about. And so we're resuming it. You know, we started in the book of Genesis, and we covered the books of Moses, Genesis and Exodus, and then Leviticus through Deuteronomy. And then we did Joshua. We started in the book of Joshua and went all the way from Joshua over to the death of Solomon, and then time ran out. And because we were at the death of Solomon, then the last part of the year, last year we just took the writings of Solomon, the poetical books, and that's what we did in the last 3 months of the year. Going to do a similar thing. This year, we're going to take up with the death of Solomon, and we're just going to go, and here's what we're going to do. When we come to the prophets, we're going to stop and study the prophets. I mean, if we're studying about Isaiah and we know chronologically where Isaiah fits, then we're going to just stop the historical part of it and spend some time looking at the book of Isaiah and dealing with it from that perspective. Unless we change our minds, we may just decide to go ahead and do all of the history and then get over and deal with those other books individually. But we'll deal with that as the time comes. It's called Soldiers of Christ, and here's the whole concept. Get the concept. This whole program came about because of a realization of the fact that we need to have greater faith in Jesus. We know what God's teaching is about marriage, do we not? Our young people know what the Bible teaches about purity and about fornication and things of that nature. We know what the Bible talks about lasciviousness, and we know what the Bible teaches about other aspects of things we struggle with in our life. Then why are we doing better? Well, it's because though we know intellectually maybe some of these things, we may not have any faith. And so what we're trying to do, and for the last 2 or 3 years in our Sunday nights, is just to get back and to rehearse all of these stories. And that's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to begin with the study of 1 Kings, and we'll deal with that. David, if you want to go ahead and start passing out the cards at this time, I think that'll be a good time for everybody. Now here's what I want you to do. When you get your cards, would you please not look at them? Would you please listen to what I'm about to say? It might be a whole lot better to wait till after this is all over. But these are the cards that go in that field manual. And if you're not a part of this congregation, or you've become a part of this congregation and you don't have a field manual that has all of these questions and answers in it, then let us know. We'll get you one. Because this is the whole design of this, is to create within us. Could I have one of those too? Is to create within us an ability to have all of this information that's there. And so in your field manual, you'll have not only this card that's called the prophet card, but we'll have the prophet card and the priest card and the king card. And so we'll be passing those out. So please be aware of that. And if you want to take just a minute and look at them as you get them, I'll just stop preaching for a while. And so while you're looking at the cards, let me tell you some information you might find real interesting. You know what's happened in Tucson? You know about the killing that's going on there? The 76-year-old man that was killed was a member of the Lord's church. I mean, you may not be aware of that, but he was a member of the church, and he is the individual who, whenever the gunman started shooting, he put his body between himself and the gunman and his wife, and he was shot and was killed. She was shot 3 times in the leg, but he saved her life by giving up his life. And the reports I've heard today was that, as I heard about the description of him, the early morning news this morning said he was a pastor of the Church of Christ, but since then the record has come out a whole lot more. He was the Harold Pack of that church. I don't know if there's a better way to describe him. Remember when Harold was here? Harold did every little repair job that ever needed to be done around this building, and he'd come by this building every day and just use the whatever talents he had. By the way, if some of you men are retired and you have some of that time on your hand, just let one of these deacons know, and they can find you some things to do around this building. And he was that kind of an individual. And the fact the report I read was that he was the kind of man, if the baptistry had a leak, he'd repair it. I love that that concept of it, but I thought you'd want to know that aspect of it. Now then, what you're receiving here is the prophet cards. Are they getting priest and king also? They will eventually get that. But look at the prophet card, because here's the direction we're going to head. First Kings, this is where we're going to start, and so as quickly as you can, after you look at the card and flip through it 8 times, and 15 minutes from now, would you get back to what I'm saying? First Kings tells about what? Well, it tells about King Solomon and the divided kingdom. That's where we're going to start tonight. It's, we just go through the Bible, and we need to understand that. If we think about 1 Samuel, tells about who? Well, it tells about the first king. That's King Saul. 2 Samuel tells about the second king, and that's King David. And 1 Kings, the Jews, by the way, call this the third book of the Kings. And so it tells about the third king, and that is Solomon. And in our study, that's what we've done. We have gone back and we have studied these matters. And hey, we've already arrived at the point of Solomon's death. And so the question on the card that you'll find is that the consequence of Solomon turning away from God. Now, get this and understand it and appreciate it. There are consequences to sin. And so here's Solomon, and we finished up our study, you know, several months ago with the death of Solomon. What's the consequences of turning away of sin coming into our lives? Sin has consequences. And this is one of those stories that illustrates that, and here's what happened. The kingdom was going to be taken away from him and his sons. Now, back up enough to recognize that with the grandeur of David and the greatness of his army and the splendor that God blessed Israel with, Solomon arrived to be the king as a young king over truly the greatest kingdom on this earth. When Solomon gets on the throne, it just grows and grows and spreads and spreads. It's the most influential kingdom on this earth. But in the end of his life, you remember Solomon, the number of wives he had, the number of concubines he had, they turned away his heart from the Lord. And the consequence of that was God told Solomon, you and your sons, you're going to lose the kingdom. This great, great kingdom. You're going to lose your influence inside this great kingdom. And so, whenever Solomon is near the end of his life, there is a prophet by the name of Abijah. And Abijah goes to one of Solomon's notable men in his kingdom, and that man's name was Jeroboam. And he meets Jeroboam, and he takes the garment of Jeroboam, and can you imagine this happening? Pulls that garment off of Jeroboam and tears that garment into 12 pieces. And he gives 10 of those pieces to Jeroboam and says, God is going to give you of the 12 tribes, he's going to give you 10 of these tribes. Well, it didn't happen immediately. But it was soon to happen because Solomon died. And so with the death of Solomon, this great, great kingdom that the Israelites had, this kingdom was divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And so as you get those cards, you're getting the prophet cards and the priest cards and the king cards. Just lay them aside. And let's talk about the kind of things that happened whenever Solomon died. Let me see if I can do it this way. Let's think about this being the kingdom of Israel. And I'm going to let you guys be the good guys here. You're sort of on the south side of the auditorium. You guys over here, I'm sorry, you're the bad guys. You're on the north side of the auditorium. And you guys are really, really the bad guys because you're more north than anybody. And so here's what I want us to do. I want to tell you who your king is. When the kingdom is divided, I want to tell you two or three things, and I want you to remember them because there'll be a test at the end of the sermon. And so there are three things that I want you to remember. I'm going to do the same thing for you guys over here. You're going to be the southern kingdom. And I'm going to tell you three things, and there'll be a test at the end of the sermon. And so you got to remember these three things. In fact, there are more things than this that we'll be adding to this test in other lessons. Here we go. Northern kingdom, where are you located? And your answer is north. Southern kingdom, where are you located? South. Is Gorman here? Gorman, did you get that? I wanted to make sure that we got all of that. the northern kingdom, where was it located? And the southern kingdom was located in the south. That hard? All right. Now here it gets a little bit more complicated. What is the name of this northern kingdom? Israel. Israel. What is the name of the southern kingdom? There's a clue on the chart up there that might help you a little bit, okay? We knew you guys from the south, you know, a little bit slow. All your interest in is football and things of this nature. And these intellectuals over here, we gave them the hard part. But maybe that will help you up there. The southern kingdom the name of it is Judah. Now, how do you remember which is north and which is south? Time out for just a minute. Before the division of the kingdom, the whole kingdom was called Israel. They were the children of Israel. They were the Israelites. They had come in, and King David and King Solomon and King Saul had ruled over Israel. But with the death of Solomon, the kingdom is divided, and there's that northern kingdom. And you guys need to know the name of your first... Well, I won't give you that yet. That may be too hard for you to get. Can I tell you the capital city, the most important city of that northern kingdom? And you need to know this if you're going to read the Bible. You really, really need to know this. The capital city of the northern kingdom was Samaria. Now, it was not that way originally. It started off evidently at Bethel, and perhaps you know, at least that's where your first king is first noted. But the capital city of the northern kingdom is Samaria. You intellectuals have that? Now, we've got it easy for the football rednecks over here. And these rednecks over here, wonder if you could come up with what might be the capital city of the southern kingdom. It's Jerusalem. Oh, you're doing great. I'm just so amazing. I'm so impressed that you're able to remember that. Northern kingdom, where are you located? In the north. The name of your kingdom is? Israel. And the capital city of your nation is? You didn't do that real well. The capital city of your nation is? Samaria. Southern kingdom, you're located where? Oh, you're doing so well. I think I could hear them better though. Southern kingdom, located where? In the south. The name of your kingdom is? Judah. The capital city is? Jerusalem. I think they may have outdone you that time. Northern kingdom. Get this. The name of your king, Jeroboam. Jeroboam. You got that? Jeroboam. Okay. It's going to be hard, guys. But if I let them go first, and when you go to rehab, you'll get this. Rehoboam. Okay. Jeroboam and Rehoboam. The first king of the southern kingdom is Rehoboam. You got that? All right, North. I'm counting on you now. Where are you located?
North.
All right. I love that. The name of your nation is?
Israel.
Capital city?
Samaria.
The name of your first kings?
Jeroboam.
Southern kingdom. Where are you located? South. The name of your kingdom? Judah. Capital city?
Jerusalem.
And your first king? Man, I tell you, we've got it. No need for me to do any more of this.
Let me interrupt you for a second. The last card that's got to come around is the Bible reading card for this year. Some of you have already received this. You picked it up out in the Bible study corner. So if you already got it, just pass it on down. But that's the last card to come to you tonight. You should have four cards: Prophet, Priest, King. Plus the Bible reading card for this year. If you have no idea what we're talking about, if you're new to the congregation, I've got field manuals that have all of this in it. We've asked members before to try to chip in about $5 per manual just to help out with the cost, but I've got some of those. You can see me afterwards. If you missed any of these cards, you can either jump up and down and shout, or you can just see me afterwards out in the lobby.
Yes. All right. Are we learning anything? We're learning anything. When I was a child, when there were people who had names that rhymed, I thought they were twin brothers. And I won't tell you how old I was before I found out that Jeroboam and Rehoboam were not twins. I just made that up. Nobody ever taught me that, but nobody ever taught me any different. And I just figured it all out by myself. Great intellect that I am. Their names rhyme. Well, I was absolutely wrong, because Jeroboam is the son of Nebat. And when you're reading Kings, you're going to run across Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry guys, you got a bad king. We're going to talk about what he does in just a minute. But Jeroboam was really a wicked, wicked king. And he took this whole nation that during the time of David especially was so close to God. And as a united kingdom, they were worshiping God and very faithful to God. And in the early part of Solomon's life, they were very, very faithful to God. But whenever Jeroboam becomes king, he takes that entire kingdom and leads it away from God. And so you begin reading throughout Kings, and you need to file this away. He walked in the sins of his father, Jeroboam. You've got to remember that. Or he did as Jeroboam the son of Nebat. He departed not from the wickedness of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now on the other hand, you've got Rehoboam. Rehoboam is a descendant of David. And sometimes when we talk about this divided kingdom, we don't see very much about what's happening. But you see, God had told the Jews that there would always be someone of the tribe of Judah sitting on the throne. And so he made that promise to David that there would be a descendant of David that would sit on the throne. And what happened was, when Solomon died, Jeroboam led the people away from God. Led the people away from God. And away from the house of David. Now, the kings in the southern kingdom are all descendants of David. And if you want a list of where those kings are found, sort of an abbreviated, ready reference place to find where those kings, go to Matthew chapter 1, to the begats. And if you'll read over there in Matthew chapter 1, that David, you know, begat Solomon, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abijah, and Abijah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat. What you're having here is a list of all of those kings. And so, now then, let's get back to the cards. What happened to Israel whenever the kingdom was divided? It became the king when Solomon died. The kingdom was divided. Who was the first king, first kings of the divided kingdom? Jeroboam and Rehoboam. You did that really, really well. Now let's tell the Bible story about what happened. Solomon just died, and they come to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and say, "We want to follow you. We truly want to follow you. The only request that we make of you, O king, King Rehoboam, United Kingdom, the only request we make of you is, will you lessen the burden that Solomon had placed upon us? To use modern terminology, would you lower our taxes? That the burden that your father placed upon us is so great, and we'll follow you. All that we're asking you to do is to give us some relief from this heavy taxes." Well, Rehoboam thought, I need to seek counsel. And so first, Rehoboam went to the older men and asked the older men, "What should I do?" Here's the request of the nation. They've asked me to lessen the taxes they're having to pay. What should I do? And the older men in their wisdom said, "Then you need to listen to them. If you will lessen the burden that they have on this, then they will follow you." Rehoboam then went to the younger men. And Rehoboam asked these younger men, "What do you advise?" And these younger men said, "Increase their taxes." And Rehoboam, listening to them, Rehoboam listened to them and went back to the people and said, "You think you've had it terrible? The thickness of my thumb will increase on you as I press my thumb upon you. Will increase on you the burden, as it were, the girth of my body." In other words, I'm just going to increase and increase the burden on you. And so there was that mistake that Rehoboam made. Rehoboam's mistake at the beginning of his reign was to listen to these younger men and to increase their taxes. When Rehoboam goes back, the next slide, and answers the people, then the tribes revolt against him. And now the situation has developed that Jeroboam, they ask him to become their leader. And Jeroboam becomes their leader. But the mistake that King Jeroboam made at the start of his reign was really an honest mistake. Let me tell you how he reasoned it. He says, you know, we've got to go back. All of these people in the north have got to go back down to the south to worship there at the temple. And they've got to go, you remember how many yearly feasts there were? Three, very good. And so they'll be going down there three times a year, and here's what's going to happen. They will go down there and they'll see the temple and they will remember the way things were, and they won't have any use for me, Jeroboam says. And they'll go back and they will form their allegiance with Rehoboam, and now I'll be on the outs. My life may even be in danger, perhaps he thought. He said, here's what I'll do. I'm going to establish a new religion up here in the north. Now, it's not going to be that different from what they have down at the south. It's just going to be different. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to erect some golden calves. And we will use these calves as representatives of the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And so he set up golden calves at Bethel. Guess where Bethel is? In relationship to the southern kingdom, guess where Bethel is? It's right next to Jerusalem. And so here are all these people from the north ready to go down to Jerusalem to worship, but they don't have to go the rest of the way to Jerusalem. There's those golden calves. So he does several things. He makes feast days like they had down in the other. He finds some priests. You know, they got priests down there in the south. Listen, guys, we northerners, we've got even better. We've got, you know, down there, they're all from the tribe of Levi. But we're not going to bring, we're going to all be, I'll just pick out guys from among these various tribes. And all of you can be priests. How you like that? And so he sets up those, he sets it up, and he said to them, it's just too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Just stop right here at Bethel. And it's a matter of convenience. And all of it, human religion. Thought it up in his own head. And he sets up a religion there at Bethel just like the individuals did. Now there's another problem. And that is these folks that live real far up north. Real far up north. They've got to go a long way down there. So he puts an idol up in the northern part. It's a golden calf, just like the one they've got at Bethel. And he has those same priests that are there. And by the way, we have feast days, just like they have down yonder, down in the south. And so at Dan and at Bethel, he sets up all of these places where the people of God can go and worship the golden calves. And so he says to the people, it's just too much. And so here's the mistakes that he made. That the characteristics of Jeroboam's religion, and when you see the words on the bottom of the screen, that's one of the questions on the cards. You ought to pay some special attention to them. The characteristics that he set there, that religion was of human origin. Instead of it being downward from heaven, of God revealing it down, it went from the mind of man and went upward toward God. It was a matter of convenience. Whenever he said, it's too much. We haven't emphasized it yet that the Bible says in the latter part of 1 Kings chapter 12 that the thing became a sin. And it was just like the true religion in many respects, but it led to the destruction of that northern kingdom. So now then, there's that golden calf there erected with an altar that is there. There's another one where the golden calf, and we turn our attention to what happened after that. God was angry at what had happened. And so there was a younger prophet. that God said to that younger prophet, we by the way do not know his name, to that younger prophet, go up to Bethel and stand in the presence of the king and cry out against this altar and condemn this altar that's here. Then he says, now when you go up there, you go up one way, but don't you come back the same way. You go to Bethel in one direction, but you don't just do a U-turn and come back down the same way. You come back down in a different direction. And so the young prophet goes there, and there is the king Jeroboam. He's upset because of what this young prophet... In fact, he sticks out his hand to say, arrest this young prophet. And when he does, his hand becomes leprous. And Jeroboam appeals to the prophet, and the prophet restores his hand to him, the young prophet. Great man. In fact, he said, you see this altar that's here? You see these individuals that are here, that someday God will come and bring judgment, because way, way down the road, there's to be a young king by the name of Josiah. And he's going to take the bones of you priests and burn them here on this altar 200 or 300 years from now. An amazing story. You know the story about the young prophet, do you not? Because up in that northern kingdom, there was an older prophet. And the older prophet, well, he was there. And because for some motivation or another, he wanted to have some association with this younger prophet. It had not dawned on me until we were working on this study. This older prophet had been a prophet for a long time. He'd been the one who had been God's spokesman up in that northern kingdom. He was there, but God did not choose to use that older prophet. What a great, great insight into thinking about some of the things. I'm not sure of all the reasons, but at one time, this old gentleman had been a spokesman for God. And now, listen to what happens. He sees the younger prophet, and he comes to the younger prophet, and he says, come home with me. And the young prophet said, I cannot come home with you. God who sent me up here told me to cry out against this altar and then to return home in another direction. I cannot do that. The older prophet lied through his teeth and said, I've got a revelation from God too. Come home with me. And while the old prophet and the young prophet are sitting there eating, because God had said, don't you even eat with anybody up in that land. But the old prophet said, it's all right, just listen to me, I'm an old prophet. While they're eating, God puts within the mouth of that older prophet the condemnation and the announcement of the death of this young prophet. And he leaves and is eaten by wild animals. What a great lesson. Was a younger prophet sincere in what he did? Oh, yes. Was a young prophet doing what he thought was the will of God? Oh, yes. Was the younger prophet thinking that this older prophet was a prophet of God and you'd put your trust in that man? He's a prophet of God. But the very death of this young man is evidence of the fact that just because some individual has been a truthful prophet, perhaps, or because he claims even now to have a revelation from God, that you need to listen to everybody who says he is a prophet. The reality is, it's that mindset of instead of listening to what God says and locking ourselves in on what God says and holding on to that which God said. It's the mindset that says we can listen to some religious leader because he's very fluent in the way he says things, or because he's very knowledgeable, because we give to him a respect that is not due him, for he's not saying what God says. And the very aspect of that in our society results in the religious division there is in our world today.
It's prophets, men or women who are coming saying, I have a message from God. And instead of saying, this is what the Bible says, do what the Bible says. Such is not the case. Well, the reason Jeroboam, a young prophet, died is because he listened to that old prophet and was eaten by that wild animals. Let's see if we can get just a little bit farther tonight. Let me catch up here. The next slide. The reason God gave that His people would be taken into captivity. We put this in this part of the slides because we're going to see it again and again. What's going to happen to this northern kingdom is God is going to have had it up to here. By the way, could I tell you something? Let me tell you how many kings you had in the northern kingdom. Well, don't put that slide up yet, Buzz. They'll guess it. You had 19 kings in the northern kingdom. How many of your kings were good kings? None. Southern kingdom, were you listening? They had 19 kings. Would you like to guess how many you had? 19 kings. You had some good ones, and you had some bad ones. But the reason that kingdom was divided, the reason God was going to take back up to the previous slide, the reason those individuals were taken captive is because of the fact that they were going to turn away from God and turn to idols, and that's the destiny of the northern kingdom. And when you read 1 Kings, that's what's going to happen. We're going to read about all, we're not going to look at every one of the 19 kings, but you start listening to the names of those kings, and every one of them walks in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Golden calf, away from God, idolatry, worshiping Baal, and all of the other things. And the reason all of that happens is because of turning away from God. Guess what's going to happen to the southern kingdom? It too is going to turn away from God, and it's going into captivity. And that's where we're headed in this Sunday night study. This is the part of the Bible that we don't know. We know about David and Goliath. We know a lot about Solomon. Solomon asking that God would get him wisdom. But whenever Solomon dies, you get into this fog of knowledge. And young people, listen to me. Please learn this now. I was college age before I knew the very kinds of things that we're trying to get right here. And that is, here is this northern kingdom, and here it's in the north, and here's the name of it, and here's the king, and here's the number of kings, and where it went into captivity, and what year it went into captivity. And the same thing about the southern kingdom, and that is the number of kings, and whether the kings were good or bad. Now go back to the screen that's there, and we have the name on the screen of four of the righteous kings that were part of the northern kingdom. I would encourage you to do everything you can to remember the name of Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Now there are some other individuals that were notable for their fidelity to God, at least in parts of their lives. And we put these in parentheses because you could put all these names up here and nobody would learn them. And so we put the names of the four individuals that we really believe you need to know: Asa and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Josiah, and mark these guys off. In the 300 years that kingdom exists, you need to understand that you have four men that are so unbelievably faithful to God, it's remarkable. Northern kingdom, you don't have any. Not a single God-fearing king. But in the parentheses are the names of Joash and Amaziah and Uzziah and Jotham. Sometimes they're called righteous kings. A part of their life was righteousness. So this is where we're headed. We're going to study the period of the divided kingdom. It's during this period of time, if we talk about Isaiah, Micah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. All of these books of prophecies there in the latter part of the Bible, this is when they lived. These prophets were prophets that came. Some of them came to the northern kingdom. Some of them came to the southern kingdom. Some of them actually were a part of both kingdoms. And there's Jonah. He's one of your prophets, by the way, up here in the north. He's a man who was sent over to Nineveh. And what we're trying to do is to get it down in such a way that we'll be able to grasp 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Now, one word of explanation and then we'll stop. 1 Kings and 2 Kings are really difficult to read. And here's the reason. Because you'll read a chapter or maybe two chapters, sometimes half a chapter, sometimes three verses. And it'll start talking about this kingdom, and then it will immediately turn over and start talking to this kingdom. And then it immediately comes back and talks about, well, while this is happening over here, this is happening over here. And so unless you've got a list of those kings, and we'll be passing out that list of those 19 kings within the next couple of weeks, perhaps this next week if we can get it finished. But a list of all of those 19 kings. And so you'll read about that this individual became a king and he was made king in Samaria or king over Israel in the fourth year of the reign of this king. And then all of a sudden this king over here will die and he'll say, and this next man became king and it was in the 12th year of the reign of this king. And you're reading it and the only way I know to do that is I just take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle and write the names and put notes and to try to keep it straight in my mind. Now, when you get to 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they cover exactly the same thing. But 1st and 2nd Chronicles ignores the bad guys. And 1st and 2nd Chronicles focuses on the house of David and the southern kingdom and the things that happened there in the southern kingdom. So that's where we're headed. And if we'll put forth some energy, and let me just encourage you right here at the beginning of this year to really think, I'm going to learn this. You know, I'm going to be able to have a grasp of this part of the Bible that hardly anybody's got a grasp of. You know, there are parts of the Bible we really, really know, and the parts of it's just like a fog. And when we get over here, where's Ahab? You know, where's Jezebel? Where does Elijah fit into this? What about Elisha? He over here on, was Elisha over here to this kingdom or Elisha over here to this kingdom? And what about Jezebel? And by the way, do you know Ahab and Jezebel had a daughter that married that king over there? You may not know that, but that's what we're going to be studying. We're going to try to keep it clear in our mind, and we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at many of the details of this, but we're going to get a grasp of what was happening in the northern kingdom, and we're going to look in a smaller way the things that are happening there in the southern kingdom. That's where we're headed. And in the midst of this study, we're going to stop and talk about what Isaiah says. Because, see, Isaiah was preaching to you guys. And here's Micah and here's Amos. And some of them are southern prophets who come up to the northern kingdom and preach for God up there. Which one are those? And that's really the direction that we're headed. Take some effort on your part. But if you'll take that prophet card and start looking at it and trying to learn the answers on that prophet card, I'd like to think that every one of us who comes on Sunday night would be able to do the prophet card. We've tried to make it simple enough so that you're able, that you'd be able to grasp it. And if you can grasp what's on that prophet card, you'll have the flow of what happened when Solomon died from there all the way to the time of captivity and then when they come back from captivity. That's it for tonight. And now let's sing the song of invitation. We've been talking about being soldiers of Christ. Rise up, O men of God. And thank you, Steve, for the songs that you selected. And all about being soldiers of Christ. Are you a soldier? Are you ready to become a soldier for Jesus Christ? Will you stand up for Jesus? The way you do that, to enlist in the army, is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to make up your mind to follow Him. That decision is called repentance. And when you confess that Jesus is the commander-in-chief, Then you can be baptized and become a part of the army of Jesus. You're a soldier of Christ. And he says to all of us who are soldiers, you guys be faithful. Don't you do like the northern kingdom. You be faithful. You be an Asa. You be a Jehoshaphat. You be a Hezekiah. You be a Josiah. By the way, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. What a great, great lesson. What about you tonight? If you're not in the army of Jesus, then you need to be baptized to be a part of that army. If we can help you in any way, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?